You know, I always encourage my kids to try new things. You know, if we're going out to eat somewhere and they have something unusual that shows up on the plate, or if we go and visit someone at their house and they make something a little different than what we do at our house, I always tell them, go ahead, try it. You might really like it. And if it's at a friend's house, you know, make a happy face when you try it. Whatever it tastes like, try to put a smile on. You can politely say, oh, this is very interesting. Thank you so much. I think I'm full. When it comes to myself, I don't try stuff as much as I ask the kids to, though. If I see something show up on a menu or on my plate that I've never seen before, I might just scoot it around a little bit. I'll pass that this time. You know, if you ask me if I want something new and I don't recognize the name, I'll say, huh. Now, what exactly is that? I guess I could give it a bite. Sometimes people want to share things, you know, especially you're out traveling somewhere and people get something that is fun and exciting for the area. And they're like, oh, you should just have a bite of this. I don't know. I think I'll just stick with a cheeseburger. Oh, at this point in my life, I feel like I'm old enough to know what things I like, that my kids are still growing up and maybe they'll be surprised. But for me, it takes more work to try something new. Even to go out and do something new, not just in food, but I feel like I have my routines and I like to stick with them. It can be hard even to go out and visit a friend. Like, I'd love to, but on the other hand, I've never been to your house before. I don't know what to expect. I don't know what to do. What's it going to be like? I guess we could try it every once in a while. Even people that you've visited a lot of times, you can still have that kind of pressure of, I don't know, should I give them a call and see if they want to get together again? It just seems like an awful lot of work. We could just stay in today. The weather's nice. We'll sit out on the back. Yeah. Just take an easy day. But on the other hand, when something really excites you, it can be easy to jump into it. That if you hear that your favorite movie star or your favorite band is coming to town, that maybe it's quite easy for you to jump at that chance. Just on the rumor, you're like, let me search those dates. Am I going to be here? Okay, I can roof some things around. We'll get tickets right away. We'll make sure that I get to see this person because I'm excited to do it. If you are really excited about somebody and they just have happened to come through town and you hear that your favorite star was seen at Burger King, maybe you jump in your car. We're going to Burger King. We're going right now. Maybe they're still eating a Whopper right now. Can you imagine eating a Whopper next to Tom Cruise? What would that be like? Of course, by the time you get there, it's unlikely he's there, and most likely it was someone who just looked vaguely similar anyways. But if you really love something, it is easier to jump at the chance to go and make those trips. And as much work as it is to travel, as much work as it is to plan out those things and go and visit someone, oftentimes our biggest stories come out of those types of trips, don't they? They're not the stories of every day, although certainly the everyday routines impact our lives greatly. But those big memories often come out of those unexpected trips. Remember the time when we were in Florida and we tried that one food? Boy, that was unusual. Yeah, we all got sick afterwards and none of us liked it. But that's a memory we'll never forget. Remember when we went and saw that band, and you said you only kind of liked them. But after being in the front row and seeing them almost face to face, now they're one of your favorites. Being with somebody has a way of changing those things, giving you a different view of what's going on. These stories of going out and doing unusual things to stir people up. Today, of course, is Palm Sunday, and we're looking at the story of Jesus' triumphal entry. We're going to be looking from the Gospel according to John, and it's that type of story. People hearing a rumor and coming out, seeing what's going on. The personal nature of these interactions is what we're going to focus on today. So let's read starting in John 12, verse 9. Up to this point, Jesus had been traveling. He's come, and if you flip back over the last couple chapters here, Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead, and he's gone to Bethany and seen his family there, and that's where we pick up in verse 9. When the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came, not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your work in our lives. And we ask that you would stir us up now, that we would know you more, that you would work on us and transform us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Here we start as the crowds are gathering, not, as it says, only on account of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus. This story of the crowd gathering for Palm Sunday starts with the story of Lazarus. The story of Lazarus, who, just in the previous chapters, had sent the message to Jesus that his friend was sick, and Jesus didn't come. And he didn't come, and Lazarus died. And then Jesus showed up. Jesus speaks to Martha, you remember in chapter 11, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." And Martha knows the theology of it, but she's about to see the practical nature as he calls for the stone to be moved out of the way and he calls Lazarus out of the grave. There were people who saw that. A crowd gathered. In fact, many of the people who followed Jesus, probably many of those who came and saw the miracle with Lazarus, were people who had similar stories themselves. We think often of Jesus and his teaching, of his travels, and even of his healings, but often we think of it only in that context of what it means about Jesus. But it also meant a great deal to the families of the people he healed, to those whose experience with Jesus was not as a teacher, was not as someone who they had read about in a book, but someone who they heard could help them, or their brother, their son or daughter, their mother. And having heard what was going on, they packed up their sick loved one, and they brought them to Jesus. A man who was teaching, speaking of the kingdom of heaven and healing. That their opinion of Jesus was shaped by what he had done for them, for their family. I've never, that I know of, been in a situation where someone, by some quick action, saved my life. Now, I say that I know of because it's possible it's happened. Someone who hit the brakes real hard when I made a mistake driving and they saved my life, but I was oblivious to it. I know I've seen other people oblivious to the fact that I was slamming on my brakes, and so maybe it's happened the other way as well. If you have somebody who saves your life, that changes your opinion of them, doesn't it? Even if they're not the greatest person, they're a little bit of a mess, but if they've saved your life or they've saved the life of your kid, you cut them some slack, don't you? Well, you know, we got to invite him over for Christmas dinner. After all, he saved your life. that if you went and saw a band and you didn't especially like them, but at the last moment the lead singer pushed you out of the way of a falling speaker, you'd say, you know what, I like this band. I think my favorite part of their concert was the part where I didn't die. And if it had been someone else, I might have. For a lot of people, their favorite thing about Jesus may well have been their daughter, their mother, who was alive with them. Being able to walk around following him after living for many years as a cripple because Jesus healed them. Of course, I'm going to follow him now. Of course, hearing that he was coming to town, the crowd was gathering. And not only that, but to see Lazarus. This ultimate story. Of course, medical knowledge was not nearly as great in the time of Jesus. But even today, once someone is dead and buried and in the tomb, after a couple of days, the doctors give up hope. I'm sorry, I don't think there's much I can do. I understand he had an appointment scheduled for today. It's just, I don't think there's much more. I can weigh him if you want. And that's about all. For Jesus to raise the dead was a spectacle. The crowds gathered to see Jesus and to see Lazarus. How many times did Lazarus have to answer that question? So you're the dead guy, right? Yeah, well, not anymore, but yes. To see a man who had come back to life. They heard that he was coming into town, and so they come to praise him. This isn't just a crowd who had heard him speak. It's not some people who were just so convinced by his speaking of the kingdom of heaven that they wanted to come and see him. But people who knew that Jesus had something that no one else had. That he could do something that no one else could do. You notice in their cries, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. On the one hand, they are calling out for him as king, and yet the reason they are gathering, at least according to this gospel here, is not because he came with an army, not because he had a great tactical plan against Rome, but because he had raised someone from the dead. A king who comes, sitting on a donkey's colt, not to put people to death, but to raise them from the dead and offer life. This story of Lazarus, with that little note, of those who had come against him, the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death. If we could just undo a miracle fast enough, perhaps no one will notice. They could say, oh, you say he raised Lazarus from the dead. Well, where is he now? You guys killed him. Ah, well, technicalities. I can imagine these priests going around following Jesus. Like, okay, you healed this man's hand. Grab the hammer. See if we can undo that real quick. Oh, he stopped your bleeding. Put a hole in the side and see if we can start that up again. To undo the miracles of Jesus. And yet by the end, it seems they'd given up hope. This was not stoppable. That's how the story of Jesus goes. We see not just the story of Lazarus, of course, in this, but the story of Jesus, who is coming into Jerusalem and fulfilling Scripture. Fulfilling what was said. I really love verse 16. His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. Although it includes the passage here as though it's in line with everything that's going on, like the people show up and they're waving their branches and putting their cloaks on the ground and they're shouting these things, and Jesus is on the donkey, they put that note. And there is a verse about this, but we didn't realize it right away. It took a while later before we really knew what was happening. And that's much of the story of Jesus, isn't it? Jesus who goes about teaching. And the crowds and even his disciples understand him to a point, but don't really know what's going on until later. That's the way many times my faith has worked. To be following Jesus, to know what Scripture says and to be seeking to apply it, And then only sometime later, realizing what was really going on. Mourning about things that really were God's way of directing me to something better, to something different, to something more in line with his plan. To later look back and say, I'm so glad it went this way. Boy, God was at work in that. Jesus has a way of doing that. Of bringing out from people not just what is good for them in the easy sense, the healings, and even bringing Lazarus back to life, but in doing more, because Jesus is the source of life. He is the source of life for those who are dying now in their bodies. He is the source of life for those who find themselves in the peak of health. And yet, spiritually, there is no other way to live. That Jesus offers life. And he comes into Jerusalem not just to heal some people that day. Not just to do some teaching or perform some miracles. Not just to celebrate that Lazarus has one more Passover he gets to celebrate. But he comes there because he was coming to die. To die so that others would live. The crowd had heard all these things. They had heard of Lazarus. In fact, we see the story of Lazarus and the story of Jesus. We see this passed on by these crowds. The Pharisees say the world has gone after him. That story of the world. All those who proclaim this. In verse 17, we see this example. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. Jesus riding on the donkey, but the focus really here is on this crowd gathered. The worship that they are giving. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The testimony that they are bringing. We saw Lazarus come out of his grave. This man brings life. The Pharisees who see this and say, look, the world has gone after him. That there was no plan that they could make to stop this. Jesus had worked on too many lives. Too many people were bearing witness to it. Something too exciting to stop was going on. As we remember this story, the triumphal entry, Jesus heading into Jerusalem, we look not just to Jesus and what he was doing that day, of him riding on a donkey, but Jesus in what he would do the rest of the week. Jesus and what he would do for us now. That we too are called to follow Jesus in this way. Although he isn't physically riding through town, we too are called to seek him out, to follow his teaching, and to proclaim in the same way to others, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. To know that greater story, the work of the gospel that Jesus died and he rose again, all according to the scriptures. Although, even in that, his disciples did not understand until afterwards what was being fulfilled. That we, seeing this from a later perspective, proclaim that boldly. The reason that we'll put on events like having kids pick up candy-filled Easter eggs, which thank you for all who have brought those filled eggs. The reason we do that is not because we think the cure for society's problems and for the troubles of mankind is a little bit more chocolate in a few more kids' bellies. But because we have seen Jesus do something remarkable. That each of us, believing in Jesus, receiving the Holy Spirit, have seen ourselves changed, have seen God at work, have seen God at work in the people around us in the congregation. And we want to see the fulfillment of what the Pharisees said, the world going after Jesus, because Jesus offers life. To see people transformed. As we prepare for Easter, I don't expect you to do it the same way that this crowd did in this story. If you want to take palm branches and make a path up to the church, you can go ahead. Probably they'll be cleared away in a relatively short order. People probably wouldn't know what they were about anyways. But more importantly than preparing the road is being a witness, bringing that message to the people around us, being willing to step into something a little bit uncomfortable, not because you need it, but because the people around you do. It's great to get your kids to eat their vegetables, to take a step of diversifying their plate, but much better to share life with your family, your friends, your neighbors, to see the kids of this area gather at a church and be touched by the gospel. That is our prayer as leadership of the church. I hope that as you've been seeing those prayer requests go out every Thursday, that you have been diligent in praying for that. Pray this week as well. And let us be people who bear witness, who proclaim that Jesus has come. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. And we ask that you would work among us, that you would help us to know you more and love you more, that you would draw us today to witness for you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.